Hello and welcome to the Sports Vibe podcast, brought to you by Vibe 107.6 with me, Noah Abrahams, joined by Ryan Russell, WD18's Jacob Culshaw and our very own Lee Partridge. Well, it's back-to-back wins for Watford, and with Norwich relegated, it's all to play for in the battle for Premier League survival. 3 points against Newcastle, vital as Troy Deeney scored twice from 12 yards. The dogfight continues with a trip to the London Stadium on Friday. But our Nigel Pearson side teetering a little too precariously above the drop zone, with Bournemouth high-flying and Aston Villa looking strong. Could it all come down to the wire? Myself, Ryan, Jacob and Lee will look forward to the West Ham tie on Friday evening and back at an important result from the weekend. All on the latest episode of the Sports Vibe podcast. Plus, we discuss the National League playoff eliminators as Boreham Wood and Barnet fight for a chance to play in the Football League. All of that and more coming up. Hello and welcome back to the latest Sports Vibe podcast. Today we're joined by Jacob Culshaw, founder of WD18. We've got Ryan Thrussell and Lee Partridge, as we always have. Let's start with saying a massive thank you to Jacob for coming on. You're the WD18 founder. It's the massive Watford fans channel. Thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule. Can you tell us a bit more about WD18 for those who don't know? I'm sure most of those in Watford have a pretty good idea of what it's about.
Yeah, thanks very much for having me on, guys. So, I'm the founder of WD18, the Watford Fan Channel. We set up in 2017. It was actually the first year of my A-levels, and I wanted to do something kind of just as a pastime, because I didn't really feel like I could kind of voice my Watford opinion. Of course, you could do it on Twitter, but Watford didn't have a fan channel on YouTube or really on any site. There's podcasts, etc., but YouTube, there wasn't any real competitors. So I thought, give it a go. And it's kind of evolved into us doing fan interviews. We're now doing podcasts. It's just general Watford opinion. You can follow us at WD18Fans on Twitter and Instagram. But yeah, it's really growing quickly, and I'm loving doing it at the moment. So yeah, it's been a real good fun since I've started in 2017.
Brilliant stuff. So go check WD18 out on Twitter, Instagram, and just about everything else. So let's get going with the local sport. Massive amounts to talk about this weekend. The results didn't really go Watford FC's way, though. So let's begin with Bournemouth beating Leicester 4-1. They held Spurs to a draw 3 days prior. Aston Villa beat Palace 2-1 at Villa Park. So how much do the results elsewhere matter to Watford FC? Will that determine whether the Hornets stay in the Premier League? Let's start with Ryan, who's standing pondering opposite me, stroking his beard.
After Saturday's result against Newcastle, you know, I was actually thought, well, I think 34 points, I can't see Aston Villa or Bournemouth getting that, or even getting to 35. I was actually feeling incredibly positive, but then come Sunday afternoon or evening, I was incredibly deflated, actually. I think the biggest problem Watford have had with those two set of results is just a goal difference with Bournemouth, because actually prior to the 4-1 victory over Leicester, they needed quite a big goal swing and really could have counted that as a victory for Watford. I know I said this to you just before. I think a lot of this is going to come down to who actually gets beaten the most heavily by Manchester City. It's become a bit of a problem. It just really just shows how important it was to beat Newcastle on the weekend, because we'd be in trouble if not.
At time of recording, Manchester City play Bournemouth this evening in what is a crucial game for Watford. How much will that result matter, Jacob, for Watford's game against West Ham? Does that make it a make-or-break fixture Friday?
Yeah, looking at tonight, as Ryan said, it's the goal difference is such a big factor now. And I think with Bournemouth's result against Leicester, that's obviously been kind of minimised, and the difference has been minimised, because that's almost effectively, if you have a better goal difference, it's effectively another point. So looking ahead to Friday for the Watford game, I'm nervous already. As you said, we're recording today. It's a couple of days in advance, but I've been nervous since the Newcastle game. Well, actually, not until the results came in over the weekend, I started to get nervous. But yeah, it's a make or break, and I kind of liken it to a playoff final, really. The build-up, how I feel going into it, it really is make or break. Because I think if we win, we're effectively safe. If we lose with the games, as you mentioned, coming up with Manchester City and Arsenal, the max we're probably going to get there is 1 point against Arsenal. We're not going to win against City. We just have to be brutally honest about it. Maybe a shock result, but it's very unlikely. Arsenal, I guess you could target if they have nothing to play for. But going into Friday's game, it's a massive, massive game for Watford, and really could define our season and which league we'll be playing in next season.
And Lee, I spoke to you about this earlier. I think it's very interesting that Watford keep going a goal down, especially since the restart. Watford went a goal down to Leicester, to Norwich, to Newcastle. It almost seems, though, to get Watford going a little bit. They get higher up the pitch, they lose the fear, they lose the nerves. Is it something that works in Watford's favour, or do Watford need to start scoring first in games?
Well, ideally, always score first. I think it's just showed that the players have been able to react to that situation. I think it says a lot about them to come back from being a goal down, to spin the result round, and also to get the point. Of course, you don't want to be going one goal down. But again, you don't want to start off and maybe play too offensively in danger of doing that. Ultimately, if that happens, it happens. But I think if you start the game maybe too offensively, concede early. I know we have done, but, you know, that's not, I don't feel, for the want of starting too offensively. So I think you need to ease your way into games. And we've done that in the past. You'll try to ease your way into the games and not necessarily get behind and then play our way into the games. And I think we've done that numerous times, especially since December the 22nd, shall we say.
So I can sense a bit more positive energy of Watford coming off the back of two straight wins, which is fantastic. Hasn't happened in a long time. Deeney was back on the score sheet. Troy Deeney, Watford's talisman. Saar looked back at his best. Jacob, two important players, Saar and Troy Deeney. How vital are they both when Watford really need that lift? They're massive game changers.
Yeah, I think the latter of Shmuel Saar is more important than Troy for me. When Gerard Deulofeu is not playing on the left-hand side, it does put a lot of reliance on the Shmuel to really step up. And I think particularly in the second half, he was absolutely fantastic. We've seen glimpses of what Shmuel Saar can do in a Watford shirt. I mean, that Liverpool game is a prime example in February. But I thought against Newcastle, his relationship with Kiko is really starting to blossom there. They're looking a lot better, and their influence in the second half is really highlighted, hence why obviously both the penalties came down that side. In terms of Troy, yeah, I think I wouldn't want anyone else standing over those two penalties on Saturday, and Troy does step up on the big occasion. Do I think he's been below par recently? Yes. I think there's a couple of factors surrounding that. You've got, obviously, his knee injury that he's been carrying for the whole of the season. He had to have an operation at the start of the campaign. And I think also, when you play him in a one-up-top system, he's very much isolated. He's not really a player who likes to run in behind. So you're kind of limited in the ways you can actually play, because he is a target man. He likes to bully the back four. So we have to kind of adapt to him. Whereas in the top system, as we saw under Kike with Odion Ighalo and Deeney, it offered a different threat. So I think, yeah, in terms of how Troy's been playing recently, big contribution on Saturday. I still do believe his performances have been below par, but I'd probably be as harsh as Chrissy. But obviously, I absolutely love Troy Deeney. I just don't think he's hit the levels that we've come to expect from him in a Watford shirt. But Ishmael Saar has been absolutely fantastic. And as I said, Saturday once again highlighted that.
And Ryan, you watched the game from the comfort of your sofa. You weren't at Vicarage Road like you were for the Norwich tie. I think you can echo, though, what Jacob said about Troy Deeney, going off what you said to me earlier. You think that possibly he's still got further to develop in terms of how he's playing at the moment?
Yeah, he's... obviously, the obvious thing to say is he was a few weeks behind everyone in terms of training, but after four or five games now, you'd expect him to get there. I think I was a little bit concerned, actually, that he was the one that instigated coming off against Newcastle, which we all know Troy Deeney hasn't hit the levels yet that we expect. It's a shame, because obviously the Liverpool match that we won prior to lockdown, he looked really at his peak in the whole season. So I don't think he's at the levels as what he should be. I think that a lot of fans have been voicing their displeasure at some of his performances this season, but then as you pointed out, Jacob, you wouldn't want anyone else standing over those two penalties at such a crucial time than Troy Deeney. So it shows his importance. Obviously, I know I said last week when I was at the match as well, watching it behind closed doors, it's just he's the loudest man on the pitch as well, absolutely no question of that. And his whole, the way he pieces together and counts down the time that's left to all the other players, you know, keeping their confidence levels up. That's why Pearson, obviously, season was so important to be on the pitch. And really, it's probably why he will most likely play every game between now and the end of the season, because without him on there, you've got to think who else would be doing that.
Well, let's put it this way. Dubravka looked terrified as Troy Deeney stepped up to take those two penalties. Lee, what attitude, what mentality do the Watford players go into the West Ham game with? Psychologically, surely it is more positive having just won two games.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, I definitely think that the positivity, well, I know that the positivity in and around the club and the team is a lot higher than what it was prior to them two games. I've said this before. I think it's as much as it's a win game, but it's a must not lose game, because that little, depending what happens for Bournemouth against City, it gives you that little bit of cushion. You know, it could give you that extra point, which at the end of the season could be massive. Bournemouth have to go, depending on the result, again to City, could be going to Southampton, and Southampton could be the team that's sending them down. And I'm sure a lot of the Southampton fans and club would love to be doing that. So that goes in our favour as well, I think, that those games aren't a given for Southampton. Likewise, Villa, last game of the season, away to West Ham. Depending on how our results and West Ham's results go between now and then, that could be a must win game for either of them, or it could be done and dusted, hopefully, by then, for our sake.
Okay, Ryan, you wanted to add to that?
Another big factor to come into play now with Bournemouth is the injury to Nathan Ake. As an ex-Watford player, you wish him well, but obviously he is the key that holds their defence together. And them losing Nathan Ake at such a crucial time in their season, I think, you know, it could play into being quite a big factor between now and the end of the season.
OK, so every week on the Sports Vibe podcast, we predict some scores. So let's do the score predictions for Friday's game against West Ham. West Ham going off the back of a 4-1 victory against Norwich. So they're looking pretty good. Right, and let's start with you. West Ham versus Watford, the London Stadium. Who's going to win that game?
I feel like Watford have just one good performance in him between now and the end of the season. I know they obviously hit the levels in the second half against Newcastle, which, you know, we'd expect to see them. So I'm hopeful that, you know, they're just going to hit the right levels on Friday and surprise us all. As I agree with Lee, you know, a point I think would be better than not losing, of course. So I'm going to go with, I think Watford might sneak this one. I think there will be goals though, so I'm going to go in the most bizarre prediction of 3-2. I think it's going to be quite a nervous night.
Okay, positive, yeah. And plenty of goals. Jacob, what's your score prediction for the West Ham game?
I'm actually going to go for a positive 3-1 Watford. We've got a pretty good record at the London Stadium. If you've got it by mind back to last year, Deeney was on the score sheet, Delafeu as well. And even under Walter Mazzara, it was 4-2. So there's always been goals against West Ham away. I'm going to go for a 3-1 positive Watford win.
OK, Lee, 9 goals so far between our predictions. Lee, what's your score prediction?
I was going to go 3-2. They're not going to go 3-1. But I'm going to... So I'm going to say something different. I think, do you know what, bizarrely enough, the fact that Antonio got 4 goals for West Ham, I think that could go in our favour. Could be a bit of pressure on him going out, thinking he's going to replicate that again. Plus, you know, it's just highlighted that we need to keep an eye on him, which is also a good thing in our favour. I think there'd be goals. I was going to say 3-1, but I'm going Watford. 2-1.
It's all taken up.
I think 2-2.
If Lee goes 2-2, I'll go 2-1. So that puts plenty of goals on the plate for Watford versus West Ham. West Ham versus Watford at the London Stadium on Friday evening. With the playoff eliminators now, let's move on to National League football, where both of our local sides, Borehamwood and Barnet, are looking to go and play their football in the Football League next season. On Friday night, it's Borehamwood versus Halifax Town at Meadow Park. A huge game. The 20-man squad's been announced this afternoon. Ryan, it would be so important if Borehamwood could win that game.
Well, yeah, obviously it's massively important for them to win it, especially as it being an eliminator. It's great. I just think it's great that these games are actually going ahead, because it's been so long now for Borehamwood and Barnet to wait to get their playoff games going. I know that obviously the Premier League sent some money down, which is important as well. It's just be amazing if either Borehamwood or Barnet got back up, but I know Borehamwood had never been into the Football League, so they got so close a couple of seasons ago when they got to the playoff final. So best of luck to Borehamwood, and I'm sure Luke Garrard is getting his team fired up, ready, and I think the previous experience of them being there is going to help them out.
I would hope so. I would hope so. Jacob, you focus mainly on Watford, but what do you think about the local sides in the lower tiers of English football, Borehamwood and Barnet, both looking for promotion to the Football League?
Yeah, I think that's a good point from Ryan. The fact that these games are even on at the moment is a massive positive. But it's good to see Borehamwood actually having these big games. I know it's been a couple of seasons since they last had these these sort of big games. But yeah, keep a close eye on them. And I think it's also important with, you know, the times we're living in at the moment, difficult times, it's always good to support your local teams. Because obviously it's easy for us as Watford fans, Watford supporters to go, we've got the backing of our relatively rich owners in the grand scheme of things. But with the likes of Bournemouth and Barnet, you know, it's a lot difficult to stay afloat. So I think it's really good that they've got these big games to look forward to. Hopefully they can get through. But yeah, it's always good to support your local team. So I'd definitely advocate that.
And Lee, what's your message to Bournemouth and Barnet going into their playoff eliminators?
I mean, what Bournemouth would have done in recent years has just been fantastic. From where they are, and they've stabilised in that division. Been in the playoffs before, and again now, competing with some of the teams that have dropped down out of the Football League into that division, your Notts County, your Leighton, or in the past. So it's fantastic what they're achieving. It'd be great to see them all in the final, wouldn't it? Junior Lewis and Dan Curry at Barnet. I know he used to play with, funny enough, with Junior down at the Met Police Vet. So very passionate about their football, to say the least, the pair of them. And likewise at Bournemouth, you know, from two local sides. And that would be one hell of a derby if them two were playing off for a place in the Football League. Potentially these players could be playing in the Football League next year. They don't need any more than to know that. And again, with football contracts that are so up in the air at the minute, it could be massive for the players and the players' families, you know, going forward, the uncertainty of contracts maybe for next season. So it's everything to play for. I'm looking forward to see how that one pans out.
Ryan?
Yeah, I was just wanted to add on that. I think with the long break that all these teams have had in these playoffs, I don't think results are going to go the way you expect them to go with teams in form. So I think that could play into Bournemouth and Barnet's favour as well.
OK, so let's see what happens. Loads of football this weekend. The boxing's back too, so plenty of sport to get your teeth into if you want to. The Sports Vibe podcast will be back, as always, next week. Jacob, thank you very much for joining us. Do you want to remind us how we can catch WD18?
Yeah, a pleasure. No, thanks very much for inviting me on. Always a pleasure doing the podcast with you guys. So WD18 on YouTube and at WD18 fans on Twitter and Instagram. So if you could drop us a follow and check us out, I'd be much appreciated.
Brilliant. Thank you, Jacob. Thank you, Ryan, as always.
Thank you very much.
And thank you, Lee, as always.
You're welcome.
Brilliant. Thanks, guys. And if you want to go check out the podcast, then you can do so. Go to the Vibe 107.6 website, Sports Vibe section, and you can catch us on all platforms, Spotify, just about everywhere. Where can you catch us, Ryan? Spotify, everywhere.
Spotify, iTunes, Deezer, the website.
There you go. There you go.
Put you a CD if you get
on the moon.
On the moon. Brilliant. Thank you very much. And we hope you all have a very good week.